Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hurricane.
That'd be really weird.
Mm.
That was on the coast somewhere.
It's not. It's not. Thankfully, that'd be a little bit much if it was in Jackson County down there. You'd be like, really?
Yeah, that wouldn't be the best name for a community in an area of the coast.
Like living next to a mountain and living in the town of Avalanche. It's just not good.
Yeah, let's not go that
tempt fate.
That's right.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And you should definitely do that today because it is Stranger Appreciation Day over at Strange Brew Coffee House. 50% off your drinks, 20% off merch, off your baked goods, and online at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Use the code BREW25 at checkout for the discount online. And if you're in the store, you got to mention the discount, all right? Nobody's giving away free stuff. You got to ask for it. Closed mouths never get fed. So just say, hey, I heard a Stranger Appreciation Day. I heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, is what you really should say. But you get those great
deals. Just in general, you should say, I heard about Stranger Brew Coffee House on Thunder and Lightning.
I'll go a step further. You should tell businesses that don't sponsor us you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. You go to Walmart, you're like, I heard about this place on Thunder and Lightning. They told us it was great. And then maybe they call us and they're like, hey, can we advertise with you?
I would love an advertisement from Walmart.
Yeah. We won't call it Walmart's if that happens either. I promise.
No, we won't. We'll say whatever they want us to say if they'll pay us for it.
That's true. So Stranger Appreciation Day today at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. So months ago, it's been a long time now that I think about it, our good friend Sam Blakeney gave us those dinosaur steaks. And today's the day, apparently. I came home, I looked in the fridge, and it was thawing out, and I was like, we're doing that tonight? And Jennifer was like, yeah, that's what we're having for dinner tonight. So it's been in the freezer for a while, but that's good, fresh American beef, brother. I'm ready to throw down on that thing tonight. And you can enjoy a steak like that each and every weekend. Just head out and grab one. And if you don't want to cook it yourself, you don't have to, because we have so many great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. You can enjoy a fine meal at any of them. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Thank you, Sam, as always.
Yes.
College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You need new gear. If it's warm weather gear, you know, the Groundhog said we're having 6 more weeks of winter. I'm not seeing it outside right now, but you never know.
This is false. This is false spring.
False spring?
Yeah.
It's early for fall spring, though. Early.
It's a trick.
I mean, you're probably right, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, do not get accustomed to 70 degrees.
You're right. You're right. Well, whatever the weather is, there's an outfit for you. There's gear for you at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Original by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town, always. At Restaurant Tyler, when you want to have a great lunch, not just a good lunch, a great lunch, that's the place you need to go is Restaurant Tyler. They have the best blue plate in this town. If you are a Southern person like me and you're like, hey, I want a meat and three, it's got to be at Restaurant Tyler. That's the place to go get it. So enjoy a great meal anytime you want one. You just got to head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, It is so important when you have questions about your money that you are able to get answers, that you get a level of service that you cannot get at those big corporate banks where they don't know you. You want a relationship with your local community bank, but you still want all the financial flexibility that the big banks give you. It's right there for you at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Want to do the whole show about Jey Uso?
Yeah, why not? It's going to be more entertaining than commenting on what we watched yesterday.
I got to tell you, my daughter Aislinn, so excited to win last night. She could on the drive home, she could not stop talking about how happy she was. So
that's great.
I was glad to see that. So, yeah. I guess that's all the wrestling talk for today. Let's get into the part of the show that I'm sure everybody's looking forward to, and that's us talking about Mississippi State's embarrassing loss to Missouri at the Humphrey Coliseum. So I was not in attendance for this one because I'm having some laptop issues. I can't really weird, Robbie. I went to the remote in Raleigh on Friday, got a recommendation for dinner, went and ate at Lucky's Steak and Seafood. Really good. Really good. If you're ever in Raleigh, Robbie, you need to go eat there. And then drove home. My computer worked fine at the remote. No issues whatsoever, right? Get home, plug in the laptop, gonna watch them, you know, whatever. And it won't cut on. It just won't cut on. So hopefully that'll get fixed this week. Thankfully, there's no games this week, so it doesn't matter. It just means that I have to upload the show before I leave this office every day. So that's fine. It's not an issue. So I wasn't at the game. And about
lucky
the first half, I texted you. I was like, I'm glad I'm not there. Because you'd be yelling at me right now. Because I would have said pretty early on that State didn't have it. And they didn't.
I would agree with you yesterday, I think.
Okay. Well, that would have been rare.
State, no, I agree with you all the time.
Do you agree with me that you don't agree with me?
No.
Oh, see, look, that's what I'm talking about, though.
That's a trick.
I know.
State that's like doing whenever somebody copies you and you're like, I'm stupid. And they say, I'm stupid. Right. Ha ha. Like, damn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. State outscored by 12 in the first, I'm sorry, by 14 in the first half, by 13 in the second half. Lose 88-61 to Missouri. You're not going to believe this. If you're not sitting down, prepare yourself. But another team had a monster three-point shooting day against Mississippi State. 15 of 32 from behind the arc. Missouri shoots 55% for the game. Another good game for Hubbard, but another game wasted because nobody else around him can do anything. And in this one, Keyshawn Murphy again, 16-9. He played pretty well. Nobody else in double figures. Riley Kugel has just fallen off the face of the planet. He's 0 for 5 in this game. Harris, 2 of 9 shooting. Cam Matthews, I mean, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Not bad, but not enough. Yeah. Melendez, 3 points in this game. Just miserable. Absolutely the worst game. I mean, Chris Jans talked about it after the game, Robbie. Said that he thinks that's the worst game that they've played at the hump since he's been here. I'm going to agree with him on that one. This team has a flaw, and it's turning into a fatal flaw to the point where I'm thinking, are we sure that it's not Coleman Hutzler in a Chris Jans mask out there calling this defense? Because you can just get open looks against Mississippi State. You can just have them. And this is now 3 SEC games, I believe, maybe 4. No, yeah, because Ole Miss had double-digit three-pointers. They just State was able to win. Or they're giving up
7 games, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous.
The one game they didn't in the stretch was South Carolina.
Yeah.
And the only game they've won out of this group
is Ole Miss.
When they've done that is Ole Miss. So they're 2-6, I think, when they give up 10 or more three-pointers. Mm-hmm. And one of those wins is Ole Miss. One of them was Prairie View.
Mm-hmm. So
not great. If they give up 10 three-pointers, they're probably going to lose the game. I mean, that's where
this is the same as, you know, when you have a football team who's like, they can't stop the run, then you can't win.
Yeah.
You can't win when you give up double digit three pointers. And then it'd be one thing if these teams were like, you know, the other night, Tennessee shot 45 three pointers, way too many, right? So if you're like, they're telling me they're 10 for 38 from behind the arc, okay,
I can look at that.
But they're consistently shooting 35, 40, 45%. This is 47% from behind the arc, 15 of 32. Now, Caleb Grill, 6 of 11 is a big piece of that, but they just had guys open. State's defensive effort is just bad. And that's something that I got to put on Jans a little bit, because you and I both know this. The defense is all – it's effort. It's more effort than anything else, right? Yeah, you can be out of position, but it just feels like this team is not bought in defensively the way his previous two teams have been.
Yeah, I feel like he's trying to have the same defensive mindset that he did the last two, and you just don't have guys that are as good, first of all, guarding the perimeter, and secondly, that have that – mentality. There's just not that many guys out there that have that defensive mentality that's like a DJ Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one that can guard the perimeter like DJ. And that's something the State did really well. They got off of screens. They really switched well on the picks, and they closed really well, which is what Missouri did yesterday. Missouri's defense looked like what State's defense has looked like in the last 2 years. They closed well. They were constantly pressuring. They came out in a trap, basically, and State just did not handle it very well. I thought State did a little bit better job as the first half started transpiring. But the I know we're going to talk about it. The close of the first half was the ball game. After that, State was just dead. And I thought I saw it pretty early, and I turned to Paul and I told him, like, they're flat. This is what I was afraid of. I was afraid Mississippi State was going to come out after that Bama game and let that Bama game beat them again. And they really absolutely did.
Absolutely.
Josh Hubbard said that they didn't, but that's what he.
But then he said something about, like, they felt like they were flat. And that's what that means, Josh. That's what that means. When you say that they were flat, it means that mentally you were checked out from the game before.
Yeah. I think you just didn't want to use that as an excuse, but right. it definitely – it 100% was based off of what happened on Wednesday. I don't think – if State wins that ball game, which is a classic trap game, Missouri is a very good team, first of all. And secondly, with the game that you played, the effort that you spent in that game against Alabama, I think it was going to be tough for State to come back and play with that same intensity regardless with how that game played out. If they would have won, I think they would have kind of been flat in this game too. That's just what I believe. And maybe we should have thought that more. I think we gave them a little too much credit. And we didn't give Missouri enough credit. And we knew they were good. We knew they could shoot it, but I just didn't think we gave them the credit they deserved. And I do think that they deserve it because they played an exceptional ball game in almost every single way. They dominated State on the boards, and by domination, they won by 8. I feel like that was a healthy margin.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, when more than half your shots go in, you don't have a lot of rebounding opportunities, you know?
Yeah, and they still were in position to get those rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Grill was the shots he was making, there's nothing State could have done.
There were a couple of what can you
but
do?
But the right. ones that really were infuriating was when he was wide open, had time to just sit there and shoot. He's the best three-point shooter in the conference, unless you can argue it. And State was nowhere around him in a lot of these. You know, he shot two or three from basically half court. But there were several that he shot where he was wide open. And that's a consistent theme with the State team. There's wide open threes. If you wonder why teams are shooting a high percentage, it's because on this level, when you get to the point that when you're playing SEC high level SEC basketball, it's almost like the NBA, but not quite as automatic as it seems to be with them. When you get a wide open shot like that, you usually
going in.
Mississippi State doesn't hit those is the problem. Everybody else does. And State goes 8 of 26, just awful from three, outside of Hubbard. I mean, this would have been a 50-point loss.
So, yeah, Hubbard. State's 8 of 26, Hubbard's 6 of 11. So what that means, the rest of the team is 2 of 15. Harris had one, and Melendez had one.
Mm. And I mean, they probably had five or six wide open threes. They just didn't.
Kugel had a couple for sure.
So they're not hitting shots consistently. And the defense, I think, is really where it begins. Because Chris Jan's teams here have been like the defense fueling the offense.
Right.
And this team just has found a hole in it, and they just can't get out of it. I don't know the answer. I think they're going to have to change up something they're doing defensively to mask some of their issues there. But I just don't know, man. This was an alarming loss to lose it the way that they did. You know, Jans, I think, was really stunned post game because, like he said, and you harped on it just a little bit. They've lost games at the hump. You know, they've lost some games since he's been here. They lost two prior to this game this year.
Right.
Both those games were competitive. Most of their losses at the hump are competitive. This is the first time he said he has felt the way that he has watching his team at the hump, where it was just they were lifeless. They were not in the ball game. They were never in the game in the second half, it felt like. I mean, they were down by 14. I think they cut it maybe to 11 or 10 at one point, but you know, Missouri pushed it right back out. It felt like they were suffocating the whole game after they had kind of gotten it close. It was going back and forth, and then Missouri pushed it out, and especially at the end of the game, the end of the first half. But it just felt like, you know, State just was completely disinterested in this game. And this is the first time I've felt like that at the hump. You know, the crowd was nice crowd. I mean, there were a lot of empty seats there. I don't understand that, but it was still a good energized crowd, and you gave them nothing to cheer about. And you leave the game, and you look like, I mean, throughout the game, it just looked like they did not care to be there.
Yeah.
And anytime you do that in this league now, you're going to get blown out. I don't care if it's at home or on the road. You will get blown out if you aren't ready to play. And that's what happened to Mississippi State. They were flat out embarrassed. It's not the end of the world. We've seen good teams in this league get killed so far this year. It happens. It's one of those deals where it's got to be a come to Jesus crossroads moment for Mississippi State here that you cannot have happen again. This has to be, look, guys, we don't want to feel like that again. We let the fan base down. We let the administration down. We let everybody involved in Mississippi State down with our performance on Saturday. They're counting on us to have a big season. Expectations are high. We can't let this happen again. That's got to be the mood in the locker room. And if you come out of this week and you go to Georgia and you play really well, I feel good about this team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they care. They want to do what they have to do to right the ship. All that jazz. If they come out and they play flat in that ball game, you got some real problems. And I mean problems that are like this team might find itself on the bubble type problems.
And, you know, we talk about sometimes in football, like the bye week or the off week comes at the right time. This is the right week for State to not have a midweek because they really have a lot of questions they have to answer. And this is, like you said, it's something we haven't ever seen under Jans where we're questioning effort, right? This, mm-hmm. I mean, the first 2 years, they were so limited offensively that they played with their hair on fire on defense. And now I wonder if it's sort of like, well, we know we can get points, so we can be a little easier on the defense. Once you start sliding into that mentality, that's not good. And like I said, with Kugel, these last two or three games, I mean, he has just been a train wreck. And, you know, you see the potential. You see this is a guy who could be an NBA player, but not playing the way he's played these past couple of games. And State, I understand they don't have DJ Jeffries, and he was a great defensive player for Mississippi State. But Kugel, Harris, Melendez are good enough that you should not be like this.
Yeah.
And so it goes back to something you said a minute ago. That do you make a change? Do you have to change the way you look at things defensively? You know, I talked about that a little bit on Friday on Sports Talk Mississippi. I said, you know, maybe you just need to have that moment where you're like, we got to – like lay off on the help defense so much. We just got to stay man to man, stay with your guy. You know, if there's a loose ball or something, you want to try to go get it, make a trap, that's fine. But we don't have
to. I feel like the trapping hurts them
because they're not
where you,
they're not getting stops out of it.
Yeah, that's where you get the skips and the wide open threes. That's where a lot of that's come from. And I just don't know if this personnel is built for that. You know, but like I said, last year you were really good at closing out on the 3-point line. I thought, especially DJ Jeffries, guys like that. I thought like you could trap and you could have somebody recover. This team really struggles recovering, and you know, the switching, fighting through screens, it's been good at times this year, but they're just really struggling right now coming off of screens and defending the 3-point line with any kind of consistency. And it's not like I mean, and Jans acknowledges it. I mean, it's not like he's just completely clueless to it. I think it's just they just can't do it. And when that's the case, you got to find a different defense. You got to figure something else out. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I'm not good at you know, defensive scheme or anything like that. But I think we can all look at the issue and say this isn't working. I think State, when they play a team that is probably more patterned around post presence, maybe not as efficient from three, or they don't have enough weapons there, you really start to see, you know, how good the team can be, what they want to do defensively, because they're very good, I think, trapping in the post or turning teams over in the post. When the ball gets down the post and it's behind the goal, or you cut off a lane where they can't get under the goal to make a shot, State's really good. They're really good at that. And if you find a team like that, or a team that's not hitting their threes,
You'll
then
win.
that's where State can flourish. But right now they're coming up against all these teams that can shoot with three or four different guys, and teams know that they can attack Mississippi State in that way, and it's just killing them.
Like we said, off week through the midweek, back in action on Saturday at Georgia. I mean, Georgia has not been. They're an up and down kind of team. They're pretty good, I would say. It's a great opportunity. I think I'm sure it's a quad one without looking. State's got to find a way in that game. If they don't, your next three games are at Georgia, home against Florida, at Ole Miss. 2-1 is the minimum. You got to win two of those.
And that's asking a lot.
It is the way they're playing right now.
Yeah. That's why this has got to be kind of the turnaround moment for you. I mean, you got quad one opportunities aplenty here. You're going to have three straight, I believe.
That's
Georgia's
great. Three
35.
straight.
Georgia's a quad one. So Georgia, Ole Miss, and Florida, all quad ones.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Robbie. You want to talk about quad one, Georgia, quad one, Florida, quad one, Ole Miss, quad one. The next game is Texas A&M. Guess what?
Quad one.
Guess what? Then you're at Oklahoma. Guess what?
Quad one.
Quad one. Then you're at Alabama. Guess what?
Quad one.
There you go. Now you have to get to the last three games of the year to find games that aren't quad ones. LSU at home, Texas at home, and then at Arkansas is quad one.
Yeah.
You only
You,
have two more non-quad one games this year. So you can make your resume great if you win
oh,
these
yeah.
games.
Well, it boils down to just winning games. They have to be. They have to beat Texas and LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Those are
Must win.
non-negotiable. That gets you to six wins. So then it's about essentially two or three more
Three
wins.
more wins is plenty to be a good
Three
seed.
more wins, you're top five seed, I think. Because at that point, you're going to have a ton of quad one wins. Your resume, it's either your resume is going to be great, or you're not going to have enough wins in the SEC to. I mean, it's all about wins at this point. It's not going to be a situation where State's struggling with a resume as far as like who they beat and whatever. To me, it's about the number now, like SEC wins. And you got four SEC wins. It feels like you have to get to eight to feel really good. Seven probably gets you in, would you say?
Yeah,
So
seven, you're
like,
probably on the bubble, but you probably get in.
yeah.
Eight, you're in. Nine, you're, like you said, probably like a five seed.
Eight, you're locked in,
There's
and
not a lot of
nine, you're
middle ground, right? There's like either you're gonna be a top five seed or you might not be in.
they can definitely play themselves into the bubble. They keep this you know, losing skid going. But I just, you know, with Chris Jans, it's hard to imagine this team just like folding up, you know. But it's a different type of team, man. There's different type of characters on this team. At times I felt like they're really, really tough mentally. And then at times, just I don't know. And Saturday was, like I said, very alarming. That was the first time that I've really had doubt with this team. You know, you could make a case. All their losses outside of Butler were against really good teams.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could just
and
make
Missouri's a good team. Don't say that they aren't.
It's a good
basketball team.
It's just the way that the losing by 27.
Well, by 27, yeah, that's the problem.
Missouri winning that game was not
the issue. Correct.
Not a surprise.
Yeah.
And like I was having an argument with a Missouri fan yesterday about it. Like it's not about losing to Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being down 14 at the half and being down 29 in the game and losing by 27.
Losing to anybody.
This team is not.
When you're ranked 14th or 13th in the country, losing by 27 points at home to literally anyone is an issue. Auburn, Duke, whoever you want to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose games by that margin at home when you're also considered a good – look, if you're South Carolina or, you know – you're somebody like that's like a bad mid-major, and you lose by 29 at home to somebody. Okay, whatever. You can't tell me that you're a top 25 team, and you're going to lose at 20 by 27 at home to literally anyone. That's an issue.
I think it just, I really do. I mean, there's obviously some issues with Mississippi State that they got to fix, but the way that game played out to me was 100% on just Mississippi State letting Alabama beat them again.
Yeah,
we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. Not just Mississippi State. We've seen it elsewhere before. I mean, sometimes, like, you just have to look at it for what it is. State didn't come ready to play that game. And like I said, if you don't come ready to play in this league, you're not going to lose. You're going to get embarrassed. It's not going to be pretty. Home, away, I don't care. If you don't come ready to play against just about anybody at this point, you will be embarrassed.
Yeah.
And State didn't come ready to play. Missouri, I thought, was very spirited. They were never really fazed by the crowd or being on the road. That was a team that came in ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that one guy who turned it over like six times in the first half and was just ridiculous. But everybody else for Missouri was just absolutely locked in this game. And they played.
They played well.
One of their best games this year, and that's absolutely a team that you cannot play like that against them and expect to win.
That team is dangerous down the road because when you shoot the three like that, and look, they State, you know, they shot the ball a little bit better against Mississippi State because State's perimeter defense is bad, but that's still a good 3-point shooting team. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That means you can beat anybody.
Rebounding too, they can rebound, they can defend.
They're only. You know,
their defense might have been more impressive to me than 3-point shooting.
They just got long, athletic guys everywhere, and you know they're only two games behind Auburn. Now Auburn is undefeated, but
every time State passed the ball was in the guy's hands.
Contested,
they had someone in their face.
Yeah, it was every pass was contested, any kind of lazy soft pass was going the other way every
and
time.
And that was a problem. That's a problem too with this team.
Yeah,
is the teams are overplaying passing lanes and they're throwing lazy passes or they're not looking out for a defender. This team is just very loose with the basketball sometimes, and they protected the ball well for a good portion of this year, and they had 11 turnovers, so it wasn't like egregious, but the first half was like that.
Yeah.
They just weren't protecting the basketball, but you got to flush this one.
Gotta flush
you
got to
put it behind you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. Oh, wow, doesn't matter. We screwed something up. We'll fix it later.
We'll screw up.
I'll tell you after. We screwed something up.
Okay. It
doesn't matter, though. It's not an issue. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the home of smoked Southern soul food. A trip to Two Brothers is definitely on my agenda this week. It's been too long since I've been there. So if you want to go with me, all you got to do is say the word. You say the word, Robbie Falk, and we will go to Two Brothers. Just say it. I'm just saying you have to say it. But even if you don't say
the
yes.
Word.
Ooh, okay, so we're going. Great. Even if you had not said the word, I was going to probably go anyway because I want to go. And maybe a trip to the older brother as well. I mean, two of my favorite restaurants, so close together I could throw a baseball and hit them. I mean, that's living right. Like, just get out of the car in the Cotton District. I'm like, what do I want to do? Do I want smoked Southern soul food, or do I want a fancy sandwich?
And everything on the menu is great.
I can't go wrong at either place. So you shouldn't either. Head to the Cotton District and grab a great meal at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or at the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give them a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, maybe you need a new laptop. I don't know. But you give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if something goes wrong, buddy, I wish I'd talk to Advantage Business Systems, because I could just make a phone call and be like, hey, can you fix this? And they would say, yeah. As opposed to the, I can already tell the headache I'm going to have to go through to get my laptop fixed. Don't be like me. Call Advantage Business Systems today, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. When are you going to be in Starkville again? Because when you are, you need to head to Maroon & Co. and grab some new Mississippi State gear. They've got the biggest and best selection of it in the city of Starkville. You think about all the places in Starkville where you can grab state gear, nobody is doing better than Maroon & Co. Plus, nobody else has our discount code to help you save a little bit of money. That code is THUNDER15. You can use it online. You can use it in the store. 15% off regular price items. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, go to Maroon & Co. I had a feeling we might be playing that song today, Robbie, with the sheer number of prospects that were on campus this weekend for a junior day. It looked like well over 40, 50 guys. You figure you had some good chances there. And State does pick up two commitments for the class of 2026. Now, let's go ahead and get this part of it out of the way. These are both out-of-state commitments in January. You and I both know, we've been doing this long enough, this one kid's from Florida, one kid's from Georgia. If Florida or Georgia or Alabama or something, if these kids take off, it's going to be tough to hold them in the class. So we'll see how that all pans out. But let's start with the defensive back, Cameron Brown. No rating anywhere as of yet. Let's see what the offers look like. Maryland, Georgia Tech, I'll take that. Vanderbilt, sure. Central Florida, made some Power 5 offers.
Mm-hmm.
A corner, 6'1", 170 pounds, out of Valdosta, Georgia. Valdosta, powerhouse program out there in the state of Georgia. It's tough to get too excited, right?
It really is.
In the world of transfer portals.
We have to report on it, but it's like...
And he's got no ranking either, so I don't really have like a great... I mean, I see the offers, but like I don't have a great feel for the kid.
Yeah, good size kid.
Yeah.
Listed 6'1", 170. That'll work at cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like I'm always very like, wake me up when, December gets here and signing day. Because normally if these guys are any good, they don't stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I hate to be Debbie Downer on it. I mean, State deserves the credit for going out there, identifying, evaluating, whatever, and the offer sheet's solid.
Who was the kid last year? Jeremiah McLeod.
Yeah.
So the first one on him, and everybody was like, this kid's going to blow up. And as soon as he does blow up, what does he do? He decommits and goes somewhere else.
Did he end up going to Georgia, or did he stay with Florida?
Well, let's check that out. I thought
I know at one point Georgia was kind of getting in the picture with him. I can't remember if he signed with them or not.
He signed with the Gators.
Okay, they got him locked in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's always like you would – I mean, I always put it this way. You'd much rather have these guys committed than not. It's not a bad thing that you have a commitment from these players. It's just like, it's just hard to get excited about out-of-state talent that you get committed in the spring.
Yeah.
But – I know one thing, State desperately needs cornerbacks,
mm-hmm.
and building depth at that position is not bad for them. So
can you reclassify to 25? Get him in now.
Yeah, can you sneak him in now? We'll see what happens with him, but it looks like a solid pickup for him on the surface. And I'm sure if he has a good spring and a good summer, I'm sure offers are going to continue to roll in for him. So we'll see if he sticks with it. These junior days, they really get – you get kids on campus, they get impressionable.
Yeah.
And they want to make those commitments. And State's had success with some of those guys. They've gotten guys from out of state committed before, and they've stuck.
Yeah.
And they've come to Mississippi State and had good careers. So I'm not crapping on this and saying this kid will never show up at Mississippi State or he'll never be any good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that at all. So, but you know, for the sake of this point of the season or this point of the year, I think it looks like a solid pickup for Mississippi State.
While before we get to the next guy, just looking at the 0-3, the fact that Jaden Hill is a 3-star on every site is a joke.
It's an absolute travesty. I think, you've seen him play. I've seen him play several times. To me, he was the best running back in the state this year.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't make any sense.
That's one that he'll be a high 4-star.
I would think, but I don't know. I mean, when does that start happening?
I don't know. I don't know the 0-3 schedule, so we'll see.
This kid was Mr. Football in the largest classification in Mississippi. The numbers were nuts. Yeah, he was a junior. The numbers were insane. If you watch him on Friday nights, I mean, there's no way you can convince me that he's a 3-star talent. When I was watching him last year, I thought he looked a lot like Josh Robinson, that bowling ball type.
Yeah.
He's kind of grown into a well-rounded, back at this point. I mean, he's kind of pushed past the Josh Robinson comp and he's moving more towards the Cam Akers type to me. It would not shock me if he ends up being, top 5 running back in the country before it's all said and done, but we'll see. I'm guessing people just haven't been able to see him, but everybody in the country is in Tupelo the last few weeks, and a lot of them are there to see Draylen McCoy, but they're also there to see Iverson McCoy, Mississippi State commitment, and J.J. Hill. So he's getting interest from around the SEC and around the country.
Yeah. The other new commitment, we can't help but laugh at this great nickname, Jacoby the Big Show Green. Say it. Go ahead. Do it.
Well, that was really good. The Big Show.
That was good. Good job. It's a good nickname for this kid, Jacoby Green. 6'4", 360 pounds out of Niceville, Florida. I assume it's Niceville and not Niceville. I mean, otherwise, the Florida version of Lee.
Wasn't that the area that Brandon Walker used to cover?
I don't know.
At some point or something,
or he like in North Florida somewhere. So maybe I don't know.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
I'm wrong a lot.
You know, hey, big kid, 3-star on 3, 4-star on Rivals. And as the number 8 interior offensive lineman in the country on Rivals. So they're very high on this young man. Again, from Florida, so it'll be interesting to monitor his recruitment. But so that adds to State's class of 2026, 6 commitments in that class. You got in-state, you have Jaden Hill and Iverson McCoy and Jaden Taylor. And then out of state, you've got Jacoby Green, Cameron Brown, and Camden Capehart, who is a very interesting prospect because he's just super speed guy. He's elite track speed.
He was back here
this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Have he got an offer from Oregon State maybe the other day, Florida State, I believe too. And he was at Florida State last week. So it was good to get him back. That's another out of state kid. So you're gonna have to fight for him, but he is a very intriguing prospect. He is lightning fast. And that's a dude, you get him at Mississippi State.
Be interesting, yeah.
Put him in the slot and see what happens. Not the biggest kid, but that, I mean, you cannot teach the speed that he has.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Green, almost 6'4", 360. That's a giant human being.
That's one of those kids, though, you see him and you're like, the frame is good. We'll have to trim 30, 40 pounds off him later this year, kind of thing.
But he's one of those, just reading the, we got just a hat tip yesterday and some help from Chad Simmons for getting up with him. But reading that story, though, he's very high on Phil Loadholt. I've heard some really good things from about Phil Loadholt in the first few weeks that he's been here. The kids really like him. He's starting to make some headway pretty quickly. Had a few good prospects on campus, and it seems like he's really hitting the ground running. We got a lot of stuff dropping on Merton White Daily the last 24 hours. Tons of recruiting info. We had Steve Wiltfong giving an update. He talked to several guys. Chad Simmons has been over there. Paul Jones is posting stories. I've got some stuff coming. So just a ton of recruiting updates coming your way if you want to come check us out at Merton White Daily.
Well, there you go. All right. Before we go, I have to throw something out. This is all me here, but I want to thank Josh Foreman and the good folks at the Southeastern Journalism Convention this weekend for having me speak. I got to meet some cool people. I met Craig Peters, who is the in-house beat writer for the Minnesota Vikings, who's a Mississippi State alum, former sports editor for the Reflector. And when I went out with Ross Dellinger Friday night, and he was just like, "Oh yeah, Craig was my editor. He hired me." I was like, "Oh, well,
Wow.
he's the one to blame for your reign of terror."
That's right.
So I had to explain to Craig. I was like, "I hate having Ross on shows because he's always talking about stuff I don't care about. I love Ross, but I just could care less about NIL collectives and the conference expansion, and I could care."
Ross is locked in on the like legislation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I'm
He's
just
locked
like,
in on
tell
that.
me about these players, Ross. It's like I threw him off. So, but good to see Ross this weekend. I met some new friends. Great stuff. And really surreal, Robbie, to speak to a bunch of college kids who were intently listening to what I had to say. I kept looking up at the audience and I'm like, is this a prank? It feels like a prank. Like,
They take it very seriously in
they
and
do.
at those conferences.
Yeah, it
Really
was
do. Like
great. So,
those kids really take the whole side of journalism really seriously. It's nice.
yeah.
You and I both, I mean, you have basically no background in journalism is from an education standpoint.
Yeah.
Like you just came in guns
Yeah.
blazing without anything.
Yeah.
And I was in PR. Like I took a couple of classes, but
Yeah.
we both kind of learned
Well,
stuff
it's
on the
kind of
fly.
funny with Craig. He was an architecture student. And he was said one day he was just reading Sports Illustrated. He was like, "This is awesome. I want to do this." And made some changes and got into communications. But yeah, I mean, it was really, I was telling those kids, I was like, my path is not one any of you should try to follow, but I gave what pearls of wisdom I could. So I enjoyed it and would definitely recommend doing it again if I get op the opportunity. All right, guys, tomorrow's show, so I don't know, baseball, we gotta get some baseball stuff going, maybe some more basketball talk. We'll figure that
Something
out.
will happen.
Yeah, it absolutely does. So have a great Monday, guys. Talk to you again on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.